Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, every day at this time, we do a thing called the 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. So fire away, young Ross.
Yeah, so one of the biggest free agents in recent memory in baseball has been Bryce Harper. And
okay.
It's kind of surprised me. You know, he's gone through winter meetings and everything. It's still not really sure where he's ending up. He hasn't really even hinted at it. And I saw
– real quick, could he stay in Washington, you think?
I saw the odds. They're like the fourth highest odds.
But okay.
I thought he's pretty much all but said, I'm not coming back.
Okay.
And I think the odds are now that the Giants are the head favorite to sign him. So my question for you is just, you know, where do you think he ends up? Did you see him in your pinstripes or pinstripes in Chicago?
I think he's going west. I think Dodgers or Giants.
Okay.
It looked like the Dodgers cleared out some room. The Giants got Barry Bonds. Now, Bryce Harper's not in Barry Bonds' class. Maybe one day he could be. I think Bryce Harper's been a terrific player, an MVP caliber player. Now, Bonds had already won two MVPs, if not three, by the time he got to the Giants. So, you know, he was already elite.
Yeah.
I think for Harper, he came in with such hype. He's been very good.
No, I mean, it's impossible to.
Yeah, but I mean, his average. Yeah. Pull up his stats real quick.
I think at one point last year, he was 240.
Yeah, that's not. So to me, and here's another thing that's gotten proven, whether it was Ryan Howard, even a guy like Albert Pujols, who's a Lock Hall of Famer. You know, if you want to talk about a player of the decade for the OOs, he would certainly be in the running. He's definitely been, you know, maybe the best player of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Pujols.
But that contract was awful.
It was an awful contract.
Was it Josh Hamilton too? Yeah, he had a bad deal.
I mean, you've got to get a special player, and he's got to play there for a long time, put up monster consistent numbers. So, like, what Harper hit last year?
Yeah, he was 249.
All right, what's his career average?
279.
I mean, you got to give a guy, you know, pay a guy $30 million for that a year? How many home runs did he have?
He had 34 last year and then 29, 24, 42. So he's, you know, around 30 every year.
Yeah, again, those are good. How about RBIs?
RBIs, we got – he had 100 last year, career high. Other years, 87, 86, 99.
All right, so how many years he had 100 RBIs?
One. He had 100 on the dot last year.
How many years has he had over 30 homers?
Two.
How many years has he hit over 300?
Let's see, average – two years ago, he hit 330 and 319.
Okay.
He 249 last year.
Yeah, it's not good. He won the MVP in 17, is that right?
Let's see.
What were his numbers in 2017?
17, he had 29 home runs. He batted 319, and he had 87 RBIs.
Okay, what about –
He won MVP. Or he won MVP.
Or what about in 16? What were his numbers?
Yeah, his numbers in 16 were 243 batting average. But he was 15 when he won MVP.
All right, what were his numbers?
And he was 330 and 42 home runs, 99 RBIs. So
okay.
If he was that consistently,
oh,
I'd get
God,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the average has dropped off considerably. And again, you're nitpicking here, but you're talking about a guy who's hit 300, what'd you say, twice?
Yeah.
Driven in 100 runs once. I give you, he had 99 one year, and has hit over 30 home runs twice again. That's very good, but we're not talking about Mickey Mantle here.
No.
We're not talking about Ted Williams or Joe DiMaggio here. I wouldn't overpay on him.
The thing is, though, what he can do for baseball there's no one else like him really in the sport that draws that kind of attention.
And I mean, he's fast, he's athletic, and he's still, what is he, 26?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. This contract's going to be his deal because, you know, I think teams have learned that once you get on the other side of 30, even for a guy like Pujols, who's an all-time great, I mean, his stats, you know, his first 7-8 years, when you started looking at his average homers, RBI stats, I mean, it was.
Yeah, you thought he might be the best player ever.
I mean, it's like, you know, the other guys who were doing it were guys like DiMaggio and Williams And yeah, so he is an all-time great, no doubt. Still wasn't worth the contract that the Angels gave him. And whoever gets Harper is probably going to overpay for him. Again, he's a tremendous talent, a great talent, a tremendous player. But, you know, in baseball, the numbers, I mean, that hitting 249, it wasn't a good contract year for him. But I'm still, my money says he's going out west. I'd say the Giants probably the best bet to land him, Dodgers number two.
Okay.
What would you say?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I know, like you were saying, the Giants cleared out some room to get him, and the Dodgers will spend that money, and I guess they traded away a couple guys to bring in Machado, so that probably cleared up some space for them, assuming, you know, they're not going to get Machado and Harper.
Right.
So, yeah, but to me, steep. It's just, I think if you're in a market like the Dodgers or even the Giants have, you know, already a great fan base and everything, I feel like for signing him for what money he's going to get, it's more about, you know, having a guy that you want to go see every night at the ballpark, yes, and bringing buzz around you. And I feel like the Dodgers don't need that because, one, they're in L.A. Two, you know, they got Sars, they got Puig, they got
tons of guys. Yeah, they've been to the last two World Series.
They got Kershaw.
Now, for the Giants, here's the thing for the Giants. They've got their hays in the barn. You know, they won the World Series in 10, 12, and 14. They've won three World Series.
Yeah.
You know, I get they've dropped off the last couple of years. Even when they didn't win the series, you know, the next year, Bumgarner was tremendous. They win the one-game playoff. They've had an incredible decade. They've had the best decade because they've won three World Series. So now for them, is they kind of, you know, have dipped some. They look like they were getting better last year. To me, it would be worth the gamble for them because they've produced the rings and they've got Posey. So, you know, why not take the gamble now? Just to me, makes a little bit more sense for the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make sense. I just feel like if you're going to drop that money on him, like, I think it would make more sense if you were, say, like Miami or just a team that's trying to create some buzz.
Yeah, because I mean, Giants, San Francisco, I mean, that ballpark, they're selling out. I mean, I get it when they slipped a little bit. That ballpark's so beautiful right there on the bay. But I think as far as just the baseball sense for it, San Fran does make more sense.
Yeah.
You know what it is, my friend? It is dos mujeres, un camino, which means two women, one path.
Yeah.
Not one road.
Yeah.
One path.
Yeah, because caminar is to walk.
Okay.
Yeah, the verb with the R on it.
Dos mujeres, un camino. So there you go. Two women, one path. My man Lake just sent me this. We're talking about baseball. Thank you, Christopher, that Alex Wood just won his arbitration case with the Reds, and that is very good. So he'll be making $9.65 million this year. That a boy, Alex. The Reds had offered him a paltry 8.7. Alex, remember who your favorite announcers were, buddy. I love Alex. What a great kid.
That's awesome.
Great kid making $9.65 million this year. So happy for him.
Good for him.
All right, what's next, bud?
Next up, another.
So where do you think, where's he going to land?
I'd go with the Dodgers.
Okay. Are the Cubs an option?
I think they were a while back. I haven't seen the odds recently, but they weren't in, like, the top five choices I saw it.
And you think, too, for the Cubs, like, they won that World Series in 16, you know, made the LCS, been a playoff team. I don't think it'd be worth it for them.
Yeah.
I think
him and Brian are good friends, Chris Bryant.
Okay. Sometimes they don't necessarily like to play together. I think the Cubs have got enough pieces. It's like they're the type of team they've got – the boppers in the middle, that's the other thing too. What percentage of your money? So if you're the Cubs and you've won your World Series and you've been a playoff team, so now you're probably better if you could spread that money around. Say get a good lefty reliever, you know, maybe another bat in the outfield and a number four starting pitcher.
Yeah. I agree.
I think when you're a team like the Cubs, I think that money's better spent on depth.
Yeah.
When you've already got some frontline talent and a guy like Brian.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
And they've had a couple of MVP candidates here these last 3 years.
Yeah, they have. And so,
I think they'd be
they
better
got that World Series too.
Yep, spreading out that money some. Yeah. All right, what's next, Ross?
Next up, another star in another league, Antonio Brown, requested a trade yesterday from the Steelers.
Don't overpay for receivers.
What do you think he could end up? I've seen I guess the Ravens maybe, and that'd be big.
Just
but I don't even
division.
Know if they trade him within the division. It's not like it's a free agent. It could go get his revenge. Like, the Steelers have to agree to the trade.
Right, right. I mean, what is it about that position, by the way?
I don't know. That's why I like Julio so much, is that he doesn't – other than that little contract. But that yeah. wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
The thing is, though, Jerry Rice, the best ever, A.J. Green, Larry Fitzgerald – yeah, those guys are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
It seems like there are a lot more TOs and Chad Johnsons and Antonio Brown certainly fits them all. Because I think a lot of times with receivers, and let's face it, a lot of it has to do with the almighty dollar there. You're getting paid for your stats. And, I mean, the problem with Dez Bryant was like this with Dallas. You could be rolling down the field. Man, you could get a touchdown drive. Guy runs it in. Man, I was open.
Yeah.
Big Ben could throw it to the tight end. Man, I was open. So quarterbacks are always hearing receivers tell them they're open. That's probably a big reason they're considered the prima donna position in the NFL. The thing with Brown is, and he's, you know, such an off the field headache, like, would you give up a first rounder for him?
I probably would, yeah.
Where are you picking in the draft if you're doing? I mean, you wouldn't give up a top 10 pick for him.
No. Like, if I needed a quarterback, I would not give up a first rounder for him. But if it was, you know, say I was Atlanta and you already have a couple star receivers there, yeah, I'd give a first rounder for him. I wouldn't want him to be.
So
I didn't have
out, a, now, time out. So the Falcons need help on the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They need help in the secondary.
Yeah.
So you've already got Julio. You just drafted Calvin Ridley last year. You going to give up a first-round pick for another receiver?
You say it like that, probably not. I was just saying, like, a team with other stars. And I don't want him being the guy, I guess.
No.
And I feel like if you had him swallow – I was saying Atlanta, a situation like that, or maybe – I don't know where else.
A team that has the foundation.
Yeah. And that they already have, you know, you got Matt Ryan and Julio already there. I mean,
so
he's not going
to. If you're New England, do you give up a first rounder?
See, I mean, yes. They brought in Randy Moss, and that worked out perfectly.
Yes. Now, would the Steelers trade him to New England? I'm guessing no. I think they're going to have a hard time unloading him. I don't think they're going to get the price in for him.
I could see him going to San Francisco, maybe, get Garoppolo a weapon out there.
Yeah. I mean, the guy can play. There's no doubt he's a tremendous talent, but it's rare that. Just a wide receiver comes in and all of a sudden can turn you from a 6-win team to an 11-win team.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They are enhancers. They're the nice sports car. They're not the foundation. They're not the house.
Yeah. Well, the year, like, good example, 2 years ago, Odell missed pretty much the whole season. He comes back this year. Giants went from picking, second to seventh in the draft? So, I mean.
Yes. Again, they are, to me – when you build a football team, so I've always blocking and tackling, that's oxygen. Your running game, your defense, your special teams, that's food, water, and shelter. Okay. Your wide receiver, the passing game, that's the last piece. That's when you get the transportation.
Yeah.
That's the fast car if you get that sleek receiver. Now they're great to have, and you gotta have them to win at the highest level. But as far as building, you gotta start on that line of scrimmage and get those pieces on the defensive front and on the offensive line. Obviously, you've gotta have the quarterback. You gotta be able to run the ball and stop the run, and you gotta be able to cover, and then you've got to have those guys that can get open and can make the big plays down the field. But those guys, and like you were just saying with OBJ, those guys are not your foundation. Might be your best player.
Yeah.
Listen, Jerry Rice, the best receiver that's ever been by far, is arguably the greatest football player ever, you know, depending on, you know, that's hard to say because, you know, well, is he better than Anthony Munoz, who was a tackler, Lawrence Taylor, who was an outside linebacker, or, you know, Tom Brady or John Elway, who are quarterbacks, or Walter Payton or Jim Brown. But Rice is definitely the greatest receiver. And what happened? He landed on an already phenomenal football team and took it to a higher level. You know, had Jerry Rice landed on the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they had a good quarterback in Ken Anderson and then Boomer Esiason, it would not have been the same.
Yep.
So you've got to have that foundation. I like your call for San Francisco. So could the 49ers and Giants land Antonio Brown and Bryce Harper?
That'd be big.
Yeah.
A lot of buzz. And then you already got, you know, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Hopefully there's still air travel in America for people to be able to see that. All right. What's up next?
Next up, you said we had Coach Wallace on, but you know, the women's tennis team won the indoor national championship. How many more national titles do you think Georgia, you know, as a university, could bring in the like year of 2019?
In the year 2019, I don't know. You know, the high water mark we got back in 99, we won 4. And that's that was one women's swimming, men's tennis, gymnastics, and men's golf won it. And Lady Dogs went to the Final Four. And, yeah, we just in the early 2000s, we had so many great runs. And you got the big four coaches in Chris Hack, Jeff Wallace, Jack Bowerly, and Manny Diaz, who have won multiple national championships. And got between the four of them, they've won, I don't know, 50-something SEC championships. You know, I think softball would certainly have a crack at it. I think the women's tennis team could win the whole thing. So, yeah, I would say we've got a shot to bring one home. And then hopefully in 2019, bring one home on the gridiron.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Real nice.
Yes, it would. So close. So close.
I know.
That would be nice. What's next, Ross?
All right, next up we got Joe Flacco got traded to the Broncos today.
All right.
Last season they went 6-10, third in their division in the AFC West. Do you see him significantly improving them and giving them, you know, a chance to compete in that division, or is it not going to be a big upgrade over Keenum?
You know, I've liked Flacco, and I think this could be a situation where just a change of scenery is a good thing for him. And I think with the Ravens, they probably felt after taking Lamar Jackson last year that we've made this investment. We need to kind of turn the keys over to him. Hey, they won a Super Bowl with Flacco, so both can, you know, be proud of their accomplishments. So I think this is kind of a, you know, for lack of a better term, I think it's probably a good divorce for both. The Ravens can move in another direction, and Flacco can finish out his career with a great franchise with a rich history. And I think the Rocky Mountain Way is a great Joe Walsh thing. I think the Rocky Mountain Way could give Flacco a little rejuvenation. And the thing is, I mean, that division, man, you got the Chiefs and Mahomes, and you got the Chargers with Rivers. That's two
tough,
elite
yeah.
teams, and then you got the Raiders.
Yeah.
Who traded away their two best players.
Yeah.
And they're trying to stink, and they're succeeding. Where are they going to play this year anyway?
Oh, they signed a deal. Where was it?
That thing at the Giants stadium got nixed.
Oh, really?
The 49ers nixed that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Brame had a good idea. They ought to just play 16 road games.
Yeah. Then go in London maybe for the – they're always talking about putting a team in London, make them
the London Raiders.
Make them an experiment team for a
season.
So they
could have then said, when they move into Vegas, they could say they've been in Oakland, Los Angeles, Oakland again, London, and Las Vegas. I mean, it sounds like some good travel there.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
So
London are all road games. I like it.
Yeah. Or they go in Mexico City for a year. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get a little creative with it.
Yeah, could be.
Yep. All right, last question. Again, we had Coach Wallace saying that some of the girls jumped into, Lake Washington?
Yeah.
What's the coldest water you've ever been in?
Oh, my gosh. Listen, there's a fine line between bravery and stupidity. I've never done anything like
really?
That.
Really? Okay. Even maybe, kayaking or something, you fell in, and it was in the summer, it was cold?
Here's the thing. If we win the national title, I'll jump in the Mississippi coming out of the Superdome.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and make that vow. I'll do it. Might be the next morning, but I'll definitely do it.
I'll need a video of it.
Yeah, it'll be the next day. I don't really have a great story for you here, but I do remember once I had a pool growing up, and in our backyard, it was heavily – Statesboro, Georgia's hot. So it was one of those deals where it was early April, and it was the first time it had gotten warm, and I'd been out playing. We were playing basketball all day, and I was hot. I was like, I'm just going to go jump in the pool. And I jumped in. It was freezing. So I jumped off the diving board, and I made it to the side. I'm telling you, I could have beaten Phelps, Lochte, Spitz with the time I got to the side and got out of there. We did have – when we beat Tennessee, we swept them in 2001 in baseball, and that was kind of the three victories that propelled us to the SEC title. We had a couple of our players were from down in South Florida, and the late Jody Friedman and Andy Neufeld. And their sisters had said, hey, if we win, I'm jumping in the Tennessee River. And they certainly did after we got the sweep. So, you know, that's not unprecedented. But to do that, not only to do that in Lake Washington, you know, Seattle, and Seattle in the midst of a record snowstorm, that's great happiness after a victory right there. The coldest I think I've ever been with temperatures, we were up for the NIT, I can figure the year. This would have been in, I think, 1998. Ron Jerson was our coach, and we won the first round NIT against Iowa, and it was 1 degree. Jeez. And, like, the river froze, like the Iowa River goes through Iowa City, but it was 1 degree there. That, I think that's the coldest. That was even colder when I was in Alaska. So I did not jump in the Iowa River, though, I can promise you
I don't
that.
Blame you.
So when's the polar plunge? Which ones have you taken?
I mean, I've gone in a couple of times, like at the pool on New Year's Day. I think I jumped in Lake Lanier one time on New Year's Day.
Okay.
That's as cold as I've been for. And that's just like, it shocks you. You just
right.
You can't really put a word on it how you feel.
Now, it wasn't near that cold, but it was cool because it was.
Yeah, but in Georgia, you know, it's not that bad.
No.
It's nothing like.
I went in the pool in St. Simons when we beat Florida in 2004 because it had been 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And all the work was done, and there were a bunch of us like, all right. I just like, we just beat Florida. Boom. I went in. It had been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time there. Yeah, nothing like taking a good plunge after a great victory, and it certainly was. All right, Ross, great stuff there. The 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.